Today we begin our exploration of the proposed eighth principle in the Unitarian Universalist Association. Mary Claire, if I remember correctly, 125 churches have passed this so far in our ranks. I'd like just to read the principle to begin. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote journeying toward spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and in our institutions. I'd like to begin about in ourselves. Some of you may know about Jane Elliott. She is a school teacher famous for her blue eyes, brown eyes experiment in her third grade class the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. She moved from being a school teacher to being a teacher about race. You can Google her, she's there. In a speech she gave to a mostly white audience a few years later after King's assassination, she asked a simple question. If you, as a white person, would be happy to be treated the way blacks are in our society, please stand. Silence, no one stands. Maybe you didn't understand the question. If you, as a white person, would be happy to be treated the way blacks are in this society, please stand. No one stands, and there's silence. So she adds, nobody's standing here. That says very plainly that you know what's happening. You know you don't want it for you. I want to know why you're so willing to accept it or to allow it to happen to others. I'd like to share some of my own experience. I grew up in North Carolina, and even as a child, it bothered me. My parents' extreme prejudice against people of color, against people that they never met, except for our yard man and our maid. And John, our yard man, I enjoyed talking with him. And our maid gave me more love than my alcoholic mother ever did. Then just moved to high school. My first year of high school was when North Carolina, the federal mandate for integration, and I played football. Well, I ended up being the starting tailback on the football team, not because of my ability, but because of the color of my skin. We all knew on the team that there were five or six people that could do it better than I could, and we kind of laughed about it. But our coach couldn't pull the trigger of having a black quarterback and a black tailback on the team, even though we would have won more games. But I became friends with my fullback because he protects me. I get hurt less, and he knew how to play football better than I did. We became friends, and one day his parents, he wanted to invite me over to dinner, and I accepted. Now, I grew up, my dad was a podiatrist. My parents voted for Goldwater. They were staunch Republicans. I had a great time, dinner with my friend, but it hit me like a ton of bricks And I just turned 360 because it hit me that his parents were as smart or smarter than my parents. And my parents had everything, and his parents had nothing. And it just hit me, this is really wrong on a massive scale. This is wrong. That changed me forever. I gave up sports, grew my hair long, and became a political pain to people. But that changed my life forever. There's no doubt about it. As in the proposed principle, I'd like to speak a bit about in our institutions. Do you remember the predatory mortgages that led to the financial meltdown of 2008? They were called subprime loans because they were designed for borrowers with lower than prime credit scores. The banking industry justified the exorbitant cost as necessary to cover for the risk of defaults. That's the idea, but it wasn't the practice. In fact, the Wall Street Journal in 2007 showed that the majority of subprime loans were going to people who qualified for less expensive loans. And here's the kicker. The banks originally designed these predatory loans for black and brown people. Once the banks realized the high profits, they went after the middle class altogether, and thus the 2008 recession. But let's not forget that the banks' original motivation for designing these loans was racially motivated. Racism cost everyone. I bring this up because I have personal experience in this. When I arrived in Providence, Rhode Island to begin my ministry at First Unitarian in Providence, Rhode Island, I purchased a house. In 3 weeks, my overpriced $320,000 three-bedroom raised ranch was worth less than $100,000, just overnight. And it all happened because the racism was so systemic in the banking industry. It hurt everyone. It really did, because in the end, the 2008 recession caused $19.2 trillion in lost household wealth and 8 million lost jobs. Racism cost everyone. I don't care if your skin is green. Our Unitarian Universalist history. Now, I know all this so far for a lot of people is hard to hear, but this has been a struggle for us for a very long time, for us Unitarian Universalists. The Civil War. Well, the Unitarians, that's where the abolitionists came from. A lot of them, a whole lot of them. But there was a problem. Also, members of the church were the cotton mill owners. And during the Civil War, the Unitarians experienced a dramatic drop in membership. May I recommend our own Mark Morrison Reed in his book, Black Pioneers in a White Denomination. It's very telling. And that white denomination is us. Then the civil rights era, another dramatic drop in membership. The Black Panther controversy, where the UUA decided to give money to the Black Panthers, and then being who we are, we tried to micromanage the Black Panthers. You can imagine how that worked, of how they would spend the money. Amazing. But our own Jack Mendelsohn was the one who led the walkout at General Assembly. We walked out on each other as a denomination at the National Assembly, the yearly assembly. Dramatic drop in membership. And of course, Vietnam was also a polarizing factor. Selma, with Martin Luther King, the march, the Unitarian ministers, the pulpits emptied. And let's not forget the martyrdom of James Reeb at that time, killed by a baseball bat. Again, I highly recommend another book by our own Mark Morrison Reed. He's a great historian. The Selma Awakening, How the Civil Rights Movement Tested and Changed Unitarian Universalism. Now the controversy of the UUA in 2017. A lot of you will remember this. UUA President Peter Morales resigns his presidency after criticism of the hiring practices and lack of diversity in the senior leadership of UUA headquarters. You can see how one just rolls into the other, and here we are now, exploring an eighth principle for us all. What we got going just isn't working. Extreme inequality dictates that too many of us can never start a business, invest in our families, and so on. A 2020 Citigroup report calculated that, and I quote, if racial gaps for blacks had been closed 20 years ago, U.S. GDP could have benefited by an estimated $16 trillion. Racism cost everyone. So how can we prosper together? Our proposed eighth principle is a good start to begin to answer that question. And that's why I believe it is a principle for all of us and worthy of our consideration, which we will begin to do with this first forum. I leave you with my colleague, David Hicks McPherson, to wish for compassion, to pray for courage, to experience doubt, to bear sorrow, to strive for sureness. All these are qualities for which each of us should be grateful. But to feel a genuine fellowship for the whole human family, to act so that our empathy is evident wherever we go, that's the object. That's the lifelong goal.